Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, praise God. He is worthy, isn't he? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Excuse me. Hallelujah. Seeing Brother Danny and Sister Gail here, it's like seeing them so much in the last week. It's been fantastic. I was thinking as I was brushing my teeth to get ready to come to church, I was like, hard to believe I was here last Wednesday. It seems like it was so long ago. But, you know, it was just last Wednesday. And it was such a jam-packed weekend, wasn't it? Amen. It was like, you know, get to Massachusetts and have to eat dinner and get ready and go to church and shared that night. And then... You know, Uncle Tim had a birthday on Friday, and so Saturday we were back in church, and Sunday back in church, and hallelujah. It was a wonderful time to fellowship, wasn't it? Amen. Glory to God. Well, tonight I want to continue looking at the sin offering. Little recap here. Does anybody remember what the sin offering was for? It was the expiation of sin, or it was the forgiveness, wasn't it? It's the forgiveness of God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but if I was alive under that economy, I'm glad that I could bring something. Amen. And transfer my guilt to it. And even though I don't live under that economy, I thank God every day, Jesus, he became that sacrifice, that blood sacrifice, because without this shedding of blood, there is no what? Remission or forgiveness. Amen? Now remember, they shed blood in some of them other offerings, and rightfully so, but those were voluntary offerings, weren't they? This offering was mandatory. It was a requirement. Every single person, no one was exempt. Amen. So humanity is not exempt. They must accept his blood sacrifice. And, you know, God forgives, doesn't he? He has forgiven. He has. But we must do our part and accept it. By faith, we live by it, don't we? And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful. And we talked about this offering also. It deals more with the nature than the actions. Because God knows that if he can deal with the nature, the actions can get cleaned up. And to reverse that a little bit, without dealing with the nature, you can only clean up the characteristics only so far. They must go together. All right? They must. And we know that Jesus was that sin offering, wasn't he? He came to deal with the nature. He came to do away with Adam. We must understand this. It's often misquoted many times, but Jesus said he was the last Adam. He wasn't a second Adam. He was the last Adam. He was a new man. Amen. His sacrifice brought forth a new creation, didn't it? And the great thing is for you and I, when we accept that forgiveness, we come into Christ, anyone that is in Christ is a new creation. Hallelujah. Old things are all what? Passed away. All things become new. In other words, we need to grow up then into the fullness of the head so he can have his body. Amen? Amen. He's after a body, isn't he? The morning sacrifice is complete in that understanding. No corporate man has ever walked in the earth before. Only an individual. But I guarantee you, as sure as I sit here, more more real than me sitting here, he will have it. Amen? With or without me, but I thank God that he has shown us so we can be. Amen? And we understand that, you know, his blood was atoning, right? Now, in terms of Moses' church, in his economy of church, okay, there were appointed sacrifices and offerings in the sin offering, all right? We already discussed this, but I'm just a little recap. I suppose if I can watch The Voice and see 1 hour of recap, you know, I can give a little recap in church, all right? It never hurts. Paul said, "What? It's good to hear it a couple of times, right?" Now, we talked about this before, and I'm telling you, this is an absolute fact. It still goes for today. The offerings were graded according to the sinner's standing or position. Did you hear that? It was based upon responsibility. All right? Everyone has responsibility, but some responsibility is greater than others. I don't pick and choose those. The Lord does. Amen? Are you all right? So, it's graded responsibility. So therefore, the guilt of sin was proportioned to the rank and the status of the offender. Now, we already talked about this, the sin of the priest that was anointed in Leviticus chapter 4. And we'll turn there in a second. We already discussed the priest, right? And he had to bring a what? Does anybody remember? A bull, a bullock or an ox, right? And the reason was, if we went back to the burnt offerings, it was the what? For the rich folks. They're the ones that had to bring it. Okay? And the reason they had to bring it is because they were the richest, they could afford it. But we understand in principle, or understanding in type, that what they were bringing was the most expensive gift they could bring. And Jesus fulfilling that bullock as the sin offering, he brought the most expensive gift he could bring, which was himself. Amen? No greater love hath any man that he lay down his life. Amen? So the most expensive gift that he could give was himself. And then we went to the next step, where it was the sin of the congregation, which required the exact same offering. So he fulfilled it, and now he has put it or given an application to you and I. We must apply it. So no greater gift that you and I could bring, right, is ourselves. Right? We hear this. Lay your life down for one another. Love one another. You know, we go through, you know, don't think of yourself, think of one another. Right? See, I mean, unless we're in the military and we're protecting our country or whatever country, right? The truth of the matter is, most of the time, you and I do not have to physically lay down our lives. It's just, hey, it's just the economy of life right now where we live. I'm not living in condemnation over that. It's just, hey, it's the blessing of the Lord, right? That we don't literally have to physically do that. But yet, God ponders the heart, and he understands and knows, right? Look, seriously, we talked about this. If the New Testament tithing, which isn't really tithing, is giving your all, if I can't give 10%, I'm never going to give my all. But watch this. If I can't lay down my attitude for someone else, I guarantee you I could never lay down my body. So the most expensive, and because God, because look at, doesn't God, He accounted things for righteousness. So listen, under the old church system, right? If you murdered, right? We knew what the penalty was. But, you know, most folks don't understand this. It didn't get easier in the New Testament. It got harder. Because all you had to do was think about it. In the Old Testament, he dealt with the act. The New Testament, he deals with the mind. Hello? So it didn't get, you know, I don't mean this to be negative sounding, but it didn't get easier. It actually got harder for the flesh. Right? If you think it, you've done it. Isn't that what it said? All right. So tonight, turn with me to Leviticus chapter 4. I'm not going to keep you long tonight. Leviticus chapter 4. Do you love the Lord tonight? Hallelujah. With all of your heart. So Leviticus chapter 4, starting with verse 22. When a ruler has sinned. So remember now, graded responsibility. Okay? We started with the priest first. Why the priest? Why do you think he started with the priest? They were the highest. They were the richest of the crowd. Weren't they? Wait a minute. Couldn't a king be richer than him? No. Do you understand that? Well, wait, he was the king and he got everything. Nope. The priesthood. When a ruler has sinned and done somewhat through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord, his God, I find that interesting. It said the Lord, his God, concerning things which should not be done and is guilty, or if his sin wherein he has sinned comes to his knowledge, he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a male without blemish. So, wait a second. We first had bullocks, but now we've got a goat. All right? A kid of the goats, a male without blemish. It's a what now? A goat. What kind of goat? A male without blemish. All right? Excuse me. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the goat and kill it in the place where they kill the burnt offering before the Lord. It is a sin offering. I like to always repeat this every time we read it. Remember, the priest isn't going to kill it for you. Jesus, just kill me and get it over with. No. He says you're going to have to die to yourself. You're going to have to take responsibility to do it. Look, put on, put off. Right? Lay hold, let go. Are you with me? Pick up your cross and follow me. All right? Look, his work in the cross became a way for you and I. A way that we must walk. I know this is still always going to be my punchline in all these messages, but we must be reduced to a pile of ashes in order to become beautifully resurrected. This is what David said. I know that when I awake, I shall be like him. That's what he said in Psalms, didn't he? He said, I know that when I awake, or when I rise up out of a pile of ashes. Do you remember this? You know, and I'm running a rabbit trail right now, and I need to stop. But listen, remember Mordecai? When Haman said he was going to kill him? What did he do? He went out in the street, and he put ashes all over him, right? And remember what Esther, come on, the church, what did she do? Oh, hey, don't live in that negativity, right? Here's some clothes, get, you know, clean yourself up and get. He said, uh-uh, you don't understand. See, Esther isn't the primary focus in this book. It was Mordecai because he's a picture of the man-child, the sons of God. They were willing to become a pile of ashes Because no matter what Haman decreed, God, the king, had a greater decree. Are you with me? And do you remember what happened to Mordecai? He ended up going through the city on a horse. Oh, right? In all that purple and blue and that royal robe, right? That's a picture of resurrection life. He shunned, didn't he? He shunned what the church had to offer at that moment because the king had something in store that was much greater. Do you remember what the king said to his servant? Hey, I was reading a book. Because let me tell you, the Bible says God writes, doesn't he? He writes in the volume of the book, doesn't he? And he said, hey, I remember. Not that God forgets, but hey, I remember. What have we ever done for this man? And listen to me. As sure as Jesus fulfilled everything, he is the proof that there will be a body. Amen. Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has what? No place to lay his head. It's because he's building a house, a body. Are you with me? All right, I got a little sidetracked. Sorry, commercial's over. Verse 25, and the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, and he'll put it upon the horns of the altar of the burnt offering. Remember where the burnt offering was? And shall pour out the blood at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering. Remember the blood? Why was it poured down? Because it's a picture of out. It's going to touch humanity, isn't it? Are you with me? In verse 26, and he shall burn all his fat upon the altar as the fat of the sacrifice of the peace offerings, and the priest shall make an atonement for him as concerning his sin, and it, oh hallelujah, oh you know what, the Old Testament's not boring when you find Jesus, and it shall be forgiven. The blood forgives. I like this, though. I like to interject this. He's dealing with the people when it was sin of ignorance. They weren't presumptuous. Well, I'll just go out and do it and God will just forgive me. No. He already deals with that in another section. What, anybody remember what was the penalty for presumption? It was death. But watch this, the sin of ignorance was forgiveness. Come on, we can say what we want, right? But unbelievers out there, they don't have a clue that they're sinners. They do not. And his blood is just sitting there ready, willing to be accepted, and he's already forgiven. Are you with me? I still believe this. I said this many, many, many years ago, Grace Emanuel, and I've never forgotten. I remember the words coming out of my mouth, that there's many folks that God has marked for his purpose. Out in humanity, and they don't have a clue. They're just waiting. And God knows how to. That's why I tell you the truth. When the guy at work, he told me, he said, I've been praying for 2 years that God would send somebody to me. I said, that's why I'm here. Are you with me? And I'm messing them all up because he's in a Baptist family. But it's all right. Are you all right? So, now we're dealing with the sin of a ruler, okay? And he had to bring a what? A goat. Now, a ruler, okay? A ruler, not something you measure with, but someone who's in charge. A ruler. He could have been a king. Kind of interesting. The king, he could have been a king, and all he had to bring was a goat. Not a bullock. Because God was dealing with him as an individual now, right? Are you all right? It also could have been the head of a tribe. We know that Israel had heads of tribes. They literally, if we went to the book of Numbers, we would find out that he took 12 heads, one representing each tribe. All right? We kind of have the same thing, you know, pattern. We have governors, right? A governor's supposed to be, like, important of each state or represents the state, doesn't he? And he does, so to speak. I mean, in theory, right, we voted him in to represent us. Now, in God's economy, there is no vote. Not before, and not today. I always, you know, I know it seems harsh, but Brother Varner always said this, and it really is true. We don't change pastors, we change congregations. And the reason is because who sets in, right? Oh, hallelujah, Brother Dale, that's so true. It is true. It really is. I wonder, Brother Danny, is this when Brother Wilson said, when you preach, preach the word. You'll make some people mad, you'll make some people sad, and you'll make some people glad. But he said, be careful of the glad crowd. Isn't that what he said? Are you all right? I like this. When you are a ruler, it's because you've been appointed by God. Are you with me? God does the picking and choosing. I'm going to tell you, he hasn't changed. He's still the same. He picks and chooses. And I like that, you know, I got a little plug for Brother Wilson again, but he said, he said he was talking to Tim, but I thought he was talking to me. He said he could put you in an area and you could plow for 40 years and not even produce any fruit because he knew in two generations from now, the folks that are around will do all the producing. Did he say that? And he said, so don't judge success by plowing. So a ruler is appointed by God. All right? And if he fails, or if he has the sin of ignorance, right? He has to bring forth a male goat. Anybody want to know why it had to be a male goat? The reason it had to be male, now I know this probably won't go over too well, but this might be the mad, sad, I don't know. But male actually represents the government of God. Are you with me? Now, I know we could become male chauvinistic and people, I mean, I've had friends at work, I've talked to them, I could never go to a church where a woman was the pastor. Well, that would be your problem. If God set her there, that would be your problem. Right? Yeah, suck it up. It's true. So it has nothing to do with gender when we're talking about the male goat. It is gender. It had to be a male. But what he's really trying to deal with is government. Watch. Is, you know, it's a question that people always ask. Is God male or female? Neither. Both. Well, which one is it? You pick. Right? The truth of the matter is, he said, he's not a man. He's spirit. Yeah. He's spirit. This is why when we jump down into Christ, he says there's neither male nor female, bond or free, rich or poor, you know, Greek or Jew, because he's dealing with all the social issues that in Christ, it's all me. And none of those attributes, naturally speaking, determine how we come to God. All right? Ruler. So he had to bring a male goat, didn't he? A male goat. Now, also remember this. As a ruler, you are to rule your home, your church, right? Watch this. You're to rule this. James says one of the hardest things to rule in the whole body is this. Are you all right? Can you hear what he's saying to us tonight? God has come to forgive, hasn't he? He's fulfilled every aspect of that so that you and I can become the fullness of his purpose, of his desire, and that you and I must become the living sacrifice that brings that forgiveness in the earth. But it will not work without rulership in our lives. Come on. If I went to the book of Revelation chapter 2 where it talks about the man-child, right? He will rule with a rod of iron. The nations, doesn't it? That doesn't mean he's going to sit up there like this. Right? But he'll have strength to be able to carry out the very word of the Lord that will produce exactly what God wanted to begin with. His righteousness in the earth. Are you with me? All right? Now remember, like the priest and like the congregation, when the ruler misses the mark, there's a communication gap. I'll reiterate this all the time. We have a mindset today that thinks that doesn't understand. Yes, God will never leave us or forsake us. But I'm going to tell you what, we can be so carnal and fleshly that we're not consciously aware of him as much as we should be. And there becomes a communication gap. I didn't say we wouldn't understand what God wants. I didn't even say that we couldn't sing, worship, and praise. What I'm talking about is a fellowship and a communion that you know is heartbeat of what he wants moment by moment. Listen, when we say Jesus knew what the Father wanted, it wasn't just about running around doing whatever he did in the 3.5 years. It was about bringing humanity into a place. Watch this from the original intent that God had from the beginning. Whatever that beginning was. Are you with me? Are you all right? Now, rule entails public responsibility. Look, we've tried to peddle in the church the whole life of Pentecostalism and charisma, charismatic, in the realms of the gifts, and we've lost the understanding that character matters more. Should I say it again? And if we don't believe it, we need scripture, right? Lord, Lord, didn't we do? But he said you were workers of iniquity. God's after the character of Christ in his people. How do you know that, Pastor? You had to bring forth a goat without blemish. Well, I'm not perfect. I understand that. None of us are in that aspect. But I'm telling you what. We press toward the mark. I'm not looking for an excuse of my problems. I'm looking to, watch, mortify the deeds of the flesh, Romans 6 says, right? Isn't that what it says? Do mortify. Wait a minute, that's back to me laying my hands on the head of a goat, a male goat, without blemish. which telling me that I must rule my life. Watch this, as public responsibility. I go to work on time. I go home on time. I do my job while I'm there. I show up to church. I'll use the word man, but I'm not using it in the sense of gender. I'm using it in the sense of mankind. You don't need to tell a man to get up and go to work. You don't need to tell a man to, you know, take care of his family. You don't need to, are you with me? You don't need a man to tell him to go to church. You don't need a man to tell him to pay his tithe and offering. A man knows how to do it. You don't need to tell him is what I meant to say. He knows what to do. Why? Because in that aspect of manhood, he's grown up. The character. I'm going to say this. I tell my parents all this time. I tell them this all the time. Now, Brother Danny has never, I don't know, maybe he's heard me. I said, you know what I always appreciate about the men that God sent out of Grace Emmanuel? They've been real fathers. They don't run around all over Timbuktu trying to sire a bunch of children. They stay home. God looks at character. He ponders the heart. So what, you can build a house that has 5,000 children in it? If the ship is run amok, because Brother Sexton always taught us this, didn't he? Religious activity does not mean it's spiritual. God is after character. He made us new creations. He forgave us of being Adamic. So now that he has taken us out of Egypt, he's telling us to do mortify the aspects of Egypt. Or let's get Egypt out of you. Or Adam's character. Well, I don't have any of Adam's character. You ever lie before? Well, don't answer that. Since you've been a new creation, don't answer that. Well, God's already forgiven me. Yes, and maybe no, because we have to also understand this. Remember what he said? I didn't deal with this when we were talking about the seven churches, but, you know, this is something the church don't want to talk about. He said, listen, if you don't clean yourself up, he said, I'll blot your name out. Uh-oh, wait a minute. This fun-loving God that forgives everything, how could he do such a thing? Because God wants us to rule. Yep. With character. Watch of Christ. I know I talk a good game, and I have a lot to put on. But I'll tell you what, if I don't even think it, I'll never even head in that direction. Are you all right? Are you with me tonight? Hallelujah. So ruling our lives, or ruling, it has public responsibility. Whether we realize it or not, people are watching. You've heard that. This is a new in church, right? And I told you this, right? When you go out there, hey, let's take church out there. Well, listen, just going out there is taking church out there. You don't have to hook a mashiach out there. Just your character. And if your character ends up being a little questionable, you know what? Here's what happens. I already told you this. They don't say, hey, look at you. No, they say, look at what church they go to. Because all of a sudden, hey, they're smarter than us out there. Inside of here, we're individuals. Outside of there, they lump us all together. All right. We have responsibility. And listen, I don't try to be mean, and I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm just trying to be honest. If you have, can I use this term, office, an office or a place in the church, that responsibility that you have requires more. Watch. The preacher is going to be held to a higher standard whether he likes it or not. But the truth of the matter is, as the pastor, in God's eyes, you should be. Because watch this, much is given, much is required. Now you can look at that one of two ways. You can either say, God, what a burden, or you could say, God, what a responsibility. I now have an opportunity, woo, to express who you are. Even if you appointed me to a position that most people would reject. Are you with me? Are you all right? So watch. A leader's shortcomings, sin, miss the mark. Are you with? They're actually on a more serious basis. Right? And I'm telling you, we only have to do a list of the last 20 years of big name preachers, both male and female. Not too good. Not good at all. I mean, I don't even want to talk about it. It's disgusting, a lot of it. Are you with me? So an elder or a leader's sin is much more serious in the eyes of God than just a commoner. You think David was the only one that committed adultery in the kingdom? I guarantee you not. But I guarantee you it was much more serious. Because why? Everybody was looking to the leader. Well, that's not fair. Whoever's talked about fair in God's economy? In anything. Well, you know what? You've heard the story, right? Life's not fair, right? Well, Johnny over here, he's doing this. And listen, this is why Paul said, don't measure yourselves against yourselves. Are you all right? Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to talk a little bit about a ruler. I'm going to wrap this thing up. I know it wasn't any jumping, shouting, eating, meeting, as they would call them, but I'll tell you what. I don't know about you, but I thank God every day he's made a provision of forgiveness that I could get out of Adam and come into Christ and grow up and put on the character, which is the hope of glory. Because really, what is glory? In the Greek, it's the thinking. It's to think like God. Well, I have the mind of Christ. Well, use it then. Put it on. This is why nobody likes me. Mad, glad, sad. Oh. Okay, we're going to read quick. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is a true saying. As though, hey, Paul, are any of your other ones not? But this is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless. The husband of one wife. Watch, just look at these characteristics. Vigilant. Well, you know, it just doesn't really matter if I show up whenever I show. Are you with me? Sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, and apt to teach. He's not given to wine. No striker, not greedy of money, but patient. Help me, Jesus. Not a brawler, and he's not lustful or covetous, right? Now listen to this. One that rules well in his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. I like this next line. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Listen, everybody thinks it all starts right here. It never has. You only hear, well, in the modern times, if we're in church 4 hours a week, that's a lot. You spend a whole lot more time out there. And you spend a whole lot of time in your house. Seriously, I've raised 4 children. Character flaws don't happen in church. They all shake their head yes to me. But at home, are you with me? Can I say that out loud? Jesus. Because if you don't know how to rule your house at home, you can't do it here. It's true. Geez, 4 kids or 400 kids? You'll get that in a minute. You can't be a novice. Well, the dude just walked into church. Let's put him in the band. Let's put him. We never used to do that. Now we want to make everybody important so they don't leave. I want the character of Christ in all of us. That we can walk in unison. That when they've seen us, they see the Father. All right. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he falls into the condemnation of the devil. That's interesting. If you're a novice and you end up in a place you shouldn't be, pride takes over. This is why a lot of folks are running around. I'm a king. I'm a son. I'm a this. I'm a that. When the truth of the matter is, I have to, you know, I'm too legit to quit. God, I said that to my brother the other day, and all of a sudden, you know, when I got home, all of a sudden the Lord said to me, you know, the truth of the matter is, I'm too legit for you to quit. And I said, okay, I'll rephrase the line. He's too legit for us to quit. Are you with me? We can't have pride, right? Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without. You know what Proverbs says? If you do your own boasting and talk about how great you are, it's no good. Let someone else praise you. Moreover, you must have a good report of which, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, and not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of faith in pure conscience. This is the goat, without blemish. I know it was Moses' economy to bring a goat, but our economy is to bring the character of Christ. The very blood sacrifice that has forgiven us of whatever character we were so we could bring forth the character of who He is. Am I all right? And let these also first be proved or tested. Let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Listen, this also applied to the spouses. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, watch this, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree. Hey, do you want a degree? And great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Do you see what he was telling us here, what he wrote to Timothy? Listen, the blood sacrifice for a ruler was a goat or a male goat without blemish. Or in other words, it instituted rule in the individual based upon what Christ did that brings forgiveness in our lives. See, we want God just to forgive us for slip-slopping away down the road. And I'm not going to judge one way or the other on that. But to bring the fullness of what he's after, a pureness, a true forgiveness, right? The character of Christ released in our life is proof or validation that he's working. God's after character. Let me tell you, he's done it through the centuries. He can put his hukumashai and all of his giftings in any kind of vessel he wants. But now he wants to rule with a man, both male and female, with the character and the spot-free, blemish-free, government of God. That's what rule is. Thou shalt rule with a rod of iron. The character of Christ, or the strength of who He is. And I know we can talk about the word rule means to feed, but it's an application of knowing how to, it's being apt to teach or bringing a fullness to what He's after. Are you all right? Hallelujah, hallelujah. God smeared the blood on the horns of the brazen altar, and the rest was poured out for humanity. Listen to me. If I can't say anything else tonight, I want to tell you this. The ruler had a responsibility that when he erred, to bring a male goat without blemish. And for what that means to you and I, to bring forgiveness, true, His blood forgave us. It dealt with Adam. But He wants to bring that sacrifice all the way into our economy and bring a forgiveness into our lives that goes way beyond just, it's a character of Christ. Without spot. Watch this. The government shall be upon His shoulders. It's not just a thinking. We can train our minds to think right. Through study, through education, we can Bible ourselves in a negative concept of never letting it touch the spirit. It only touches the psuche. But God's after something, isn't He? It's a spot without, it's a goat without spot or without blemish. It's male because it's governmental. Watch, the order of God starts where? God, Christ, husband, wife, children. It's just the way He works. And anything separate from that, oh, it can burn up on the altar, but if it's not in order, it can never become beauty. Or the character cannot come forth. Amen. Let's stand. I seriously asked the Lord all day long today, God, what am I going to say tonight? I really did. I like it when He just breaks it open. Crop seed, planting. I've come to this realization. I seriously have. The Bible says one plants, one waters. God gives the increase. So if it takes five generations, I am convinced there will be a generation that will rule. Without spot and without wrinkle. I'm telling you, it's the character of Christ. Well, most of the church is seeking giftings. Still, God's seeking character. The moral decay, not just in the church, but in the country. And the only thing that's going to change it is the character of Christ. In the people, watch this, who He's already made a new creation. Who's accepted His blood for forgiveness, that sin offering. Amen. Remember, this offering is not voluntary. It's required. Which means my character must be blameless. It's required. Father, we love You. And we praise You, God. Father, we thank You for Your life and Your spirit. So we ask God, that as we press into You, O God, that You become the all in all. You become everything, God. That God, in the end of us, it's only You. We love You, Jesus. We praise You, Jesus. And Father, we ask as Rebecca and Steve go to New York over the weekend that You watch over them and keep Your hands on them, O God. Father, let them be strengthened and let them do some strengthening and let them come back, oh God, fully revived. And God, as Brother Danny and Sister Gail travel home tonight, watch over them. Keep Your hand on them. And God, keep Your hand on the whole congregation so that You might bring forth Your spoil your life, your character. We declare these things in the only name that really matters, Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah.